This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
It's our friend Larry Williams at Tiger Illustrated. Larry, good morning.
Good morning.
Buddy, that's it's a pretty good story you got out there earlier this week. Can you kind of tell us what you know about it? I mean, what really made Todd Bates decide to go to Oklahoma?
Well, it came sort of out of nowhere, at least to me, mainly because the Board of Trustees 2 weeks before had just approved a $200,000 raise recommended by Dabo Swinney for Bates. So it felt like that at that time, 2 weeks ago, or I guess 2.5 weeks ago, that if there was any flirtation between Bates and Oklahoma or whoever else, that it was in the past tense. So, I mean, you just don't get to that stage where the Board of Trustees is approving compensation and changes to contracts if anybody has any inkling that that coach is still in heavy talks with another school. Now, this could have – I say this, that it could have been Dabo was just trying to sweeten the pot in the midst of Bates' conversations and trying to keep him here. I just don't get the feeling that that's what happened. I don't think you get to that stage if there's still uncertainty. I think, and I don't know this for sure, this is just sort of an educated guess, that Venables made a second run at him. Maybe perhaps after Venables struck out on one of his other candidates. I don't know. But the title thing, I think, was a pretty important deal. It's an important deal to these coaches, you know, perception-wise, when you get passed over and they promote two other guys on the staff, and Wesley Goodwin and Mickey Kahn. And when you get passed over for that title, I think it's a pretty big deal. And then here comes Venables offering you that same co-coordinator title. And so I think that was probably what ended up sealing the deal for him.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, Larry, if it was maybe he didn't see an opportunity for upward mobility at Clemson, given that the top two jobs other than the head coaching position had been filled, and those guys presumably are going to be there for at least a few years. I mean, do you get the sense that Todd Bates, like anybody else, he has aspirations of someday being a head coach? I guess that's the question, Larry. Does every assistant coach have an aspiration, have a desire to eventually be the head coach?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure there are some exceptions, but it's hard to find an assistant coach at the highest level of college football who doesn't want to run his own show. I mean, you know, for years, the longer Venables stayed here, the more you heard, he's not ever going to go anywhere. He's content to be a defensive coordinator for the rest of his life, and he just loves it here so much. A lot of that was true, but I kept saying, hey, look, if one of the select few jobs one of the select few opportunities comes along, that he thinks is attractive, then he's gone. And sure enough, like the perfect storm of an opportunity came when Oklahoma came calling after Lincoln Riley went to Southern Cal, because Venable spent 13 years there. That's a dream job for him. But, yeah, Todd Bates, I 100% believe he wants to be a head coach. In fact, after the raises and all that and the new titles were announced in mid-December, Dabo gave him that title, assistant head coach, and specifically said Todd Bates is going to be a successful head coach one day. He has all the makings of a successful head coach. And so, yes, and I think you make a good point that if you're in Todd Bates' shoes and, you know, Venables leaves and Dabo makes the decision to promote Wesley Goodwin and Mickey Kahn to co-coordinators, those guys ain't leaving anytime soon. Those are almost like Clemson lifers. Wes Goodwin has had opportunities to leave. In fact, he had the precise same opportunity at Oklahoma that he has here. Venables wanted to take him, I believe, to be his co-defensive coordinator and play caller. And so I asked Wesley Goodwin, I said, what was the opportunity, you know, that he was offering? And all Wes would say was, well, it wasn't the co-defensive coordinator and linebacker's job at Clemson. So there's that. You know, basically he's saying he absolutely loves it here. And so if you're Todd Bates and you're aspiring to further climb that ladder, I think you can reasonably say, well, it's going to be hard to do over the next few years here.
We're joined by Larry Williams, Tiger Illustrated. Follow him on Twitter at LarryWilliamsTI. Larry, what does Dabo do to fill this spot? I've seen reports that he might go outside again to bring somebody to be the recruiting director. I think that Todd Bates came from Jackson State or Jacksonville State. Correct me if I'm wrong. But what's he do? Is there anybody there that he could see taking that job? It's not kind of a job that you really bring somebody up for, is it? I mean, there's no grad assistant going to take it. Well, I guess this is the question. I'll phrase it like that once more. Where is it on the hierarchy of assistant coaches?
Well, he's made a hire. We reported yesterday morning, he's hired Nick Eason from Auburn, Clemson grad, who was at Auburn for a year, has, I want to say, 10 years of experience in coaching in the NFL. Maybe not 10, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but 8 years in the NFL with three different teams, has that high-energy personality, coached Auburn's defensive line. But, no, that's a done deal. He's going to be here this weekend, in fact. Nick Eason will be, and will be, I think, Clemson's defensive tackles coach. I'm assuming he'll get that recruiting coordinator title. I don't think the recruiting coordinator position these days carries as much responsibility as it has traditionally, in that major college football programs are so fortified with their support staffs that you almost have personnel departments on the inside with guys who are running the show who aren't, you know, full-time position coaches. These support staffers, Jordan Sorrells is the main guy at Clemson. Their full-time job is recruiting and everything that goes with it. And so I think if, you know, essentially, there are other guys who are paying much more attention to recruiting and thus would be more justified calling recruiting coordinators. I think that title as a coach, same as assistant head coach, maybe more so something that a head coach can sort of take to his superiors, the board of trustees, and say, hey, we need to give him this $200,000 raise because I'm giving him this title, whatever. Anyway, Nick Eason is the guy. I think it's a home run hire. He is very, very well respected. And, you know, some might even argue that it's an upgrade over Todd Bates.
Well, yeah, you've got that name. I mean, we remember Nick Eason playing. I couldn't tell you anything about Todd Bates, but I know a lot about Nick Eason. That is a fantastic hire. Larry, before we let you go, let me get your opinion on this. There was news yesterday about Caleb Williams being offered $1 million to go to Eastern Michigan, that Charlie Batch had put a tweet out there, and there was an investment group or whatnot offering to pay him $1 million for one season to go to Eastern Michigan if he does indeed leave Oklahoma. How is Dabo and his staff handling NIL? Have they set up a separate department to shepherd that and guide it?
I think Dabo is, I think it's very well publicized that he's more a traditionalist in terms of, you know, I don't think he's opposed to some of these player empowerment facets in terms of compensation and things like that, but he is staunchly in support of tying it to education in terms of, hey, you know, he would have structured it differently with name, image, likeness, or what currently constitutes it, to where it's spread amongst a whole team, and say the players then are able to get that money out of, say, a trust at the end of their careers, provided they graduate. I guess that's a controversial take now, which I think there's actually something to be said for continuing to emphasize that education, given that 99% of these players aren't going to end up with lengthy NFL careers and are going to be sitting there at 25 years old trying to figure out what to do. And so, but all that said, Clemson does need to adapt, does need to sort of think in these more modern terms, I don't think they're going to be anytime soon in the realm of doing like what you just said, offering somebody $1 million. You know, I think there's still a market. There are still players out there, high school players, really talented high school players, who don't really give a dang about their market value. They want to get better as players, as men, as people. Cade Klubnik is that type of player, the kid they have coming in from Texas next week. Trevor Lawrence was that type of person and player. I don't think he really gave a crap about NIL. Now, you know, we should point out they were both from pretty well-to-do families, so they didn't have to. There was no need for them to make a bunch of money in college. But I think Dabo's sort of model is still going to heavily emphasize the more cultural aspects of it, the more holistic parts of taking these kids, you know, growing them up into men. And I think there's validity to that, and it's a kind of a noble pursuit, I guess you could say, in terms of still emphasizing that.
He's Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated. You can follow him on Twitter at Larry Williams TI. Larry, buddy, appreciate you coming on this morning. Hope you had a good holiday.
Likewise, anytime. Take care, bud.
Thanks, man. It's Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated.